Sentinel Online. Now loading the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio's unofficial flagship podcast, Alter Geek Unlimited, episode 14. I am your host for this episode, Michael Powers. I am joined this week, as always, by Steve Megatron Phillips. How are you doing today, sir?
Good. How are you?
I am good. Sorry for leaving everyone in a lurch again after teasing you guys the week before. I completely forgot that I had made plans with a friend months ago to go see a Riff Tracks live of Night of the Living Dead.
How was that?
It was different. I mean, for anyone that doesn't know, Riff Tracks live is basically the Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys.
Okay. I wasn't sure what that all entailed. I'd never seen a Riff Tracks.
Oh, well, obviously they do running commentaries for movies. You can actually download like a riff track and you start it at the same time as you start a movie, and so they have a whole bunch of them out there for different movies, but this one was live. You went to a theater, you went and sat down in your seat, and it was streamed over a satellite dish. The guys, basically, they're somewhere else at, I think they said like somewhere in Texas. They basically stand up on like a theatrical stage, and they're behind podiums with a microphone and a bottle of water. And to their right, in this case, there was a movie screen, and they were playing Night of the Living Dead on it. And they were in front of a live audience, and they were riffing on it while it was, you know, live.
Nice.
So it was really interesting. Sometimes like the Night of the Living Dead filled up the entire screen. Other times it was like off to the side and you saw all three hosts. Sometimes you just saw the host. Sometimes you saw the, it was like kind of like watching a stand-up comedy special where the camera, oh, nice, where the camera moves around and you see things and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun. I don't know that it was kind of awkward for me, cuz I don't know that I've been in a theater where people have genuinely laughed that much before, like even in a good comedy. It was interesting. There was like a weird kind of energy. It was kind of interesting being in an environment where everyone was just laughing because something was really, really funny, or witty. But that's why I wasn't here last week. And that snuck up on me because of stuff. I do know that, Steve, you and I are going to have to talk off air about recording, I think it is episode 16. Because that is the night that my wife and I are going to be waiting for our PlayStation 4.
Okay.
But we can talk about that off air. So
sounds good.
What have you been up to this last week?
I've been doing a lot of prep work behind the scenes for various shows, whether it be art stuff or MWire Weekly, Altered Geek, the Top 100 Animated Film Countdown. I always want to say the animated series of all time, but that's because we did that 2 years ago. Been doing that. I've been working on the Year 5 Geekcast Radio site still. I think we've actually come upon a, for the most part, agreement on the design to go with, and the style and everything else. It's just adding features and functionality to it, and trying to preserve some of what people like about the site and trying to switch things up with our own personal complaints we were having with the current design. So it's going to be interesting to see how this new site is taken when it gets through our beta testing, basically, and makes it through to next year's release.
I've seen it, guys. It looks really good. But I'm biased because Steve is my friend. So
I appreciate it anyway.
Let's see. I don't know if you want to talk to me about Arkham Origins now or if you want to wait until later.
I think we'll wait till later.
Okay. So you want to get into the news?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. What's the first thing we've got here? It looks like we've got DC...
Oh, no, that's fine. I was going to say it's a lot of DC Comics news.
Oh, boy. Because I remember the last time we talked about DC Comics, it wasn't so great. DC Comics is moving to Burbank to join DC Entertainment. So does that mean they're relocating from New York?
Yeah, they're actually going to be closing operations in New York and relocating the entire operation in 2015, I believe it said.
Consolidating.
Yeah, it's more so because Warner Brothers wanted them to pack it up and come sit with them over on the other side.
Okay.
Which, to some degree, makes sense. I mean, considering that they all do the same things. However, because we have a couple other articles lumped together in pretty much the same setup, there's a Marvel Entertainment guy, I believe, that said something about it.
Joe Quesada?
Yeah, that's his name. I didn't know how to say his name, so I didn't want to butcher it.
It's okay. I probably butchered it too, so don't worry about it.
Your guess was as good as mine. It kind of, you know, he was saying basically it kind of sucks for some DC employees who will have to decide whether they want to move or, you know, take a leave from DC. But he said it's kind of sucks because New York's kind of known for comic book territory.
Okay.
Which I can kind of see.
Well, yeah, because everything, unless it was Avengers West Coast, everything's kind of set in New York, or at least on the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with them there.
But then again, is it really as big of a deal as, like Marvel packing up and leaving New York? Because DC doesn't, and I could be wrong, I don't read a lot of DC comics, they don't bother with real-world cities.
No, they're all pretty much created. I mean, you have Bloodhaven, you have, which is like Chicago, you have Metropolis, which is, you know, like almost kind of like a Manhattan, New York, and then you have Gotham, which is kind of like Detroit. So it's, you know, you have your wannabe versions of the same cities, it's just different names.
Right. But like I said, I'm not a big DC guy, so I tried reading. I'm still trying to read the New 52 comics. I still have them on my iPad. They're taking up an awful lot of space on there.
I'll say this about the New 52. Some of it's... There's some love and some hate with it. I mean, the pre-New 52, was it perfect? No. Was there a lot of random continuity screw-ups? Yeah, but so is there with the New 52. Because some of it's still pre-New 52 and mixed in there, and it's convoluted as all hell. But I kind of enjoy the New 52 to some degree. I'll be honest. After the Death of the Family plotline in Batman, primarily in Batman, I have not been thrilled with the Zero Year. Up until issue 24, where he actually puts the cowl on.
Okay.
And now I'm re-enthused with the concept of the Zero Year. It gave me a reason to actually give a rat's behind again. Because it's more origins in that issue than just Batman. And then, for me, I've been more so sticking with Detective Comics because I kind of like the direction that's been going, so... and you have Wrath, who's another billionaire, just kind of the opposite side of the coin of Bruce Wayne. But it's kind of interesting in itself, so.
All right. Well, like I said, I'm trying to read it. I don't know if I'll get back to it. I keep, between my new job and game and, you know, some games here and there, and my entire backlog of TV shows, I'm getting swamped and stuff, so I think comics have taken a back burner again, which sometimes it bums me out, but not so much. So
you can always marathon through them at one point.
I can try when I'm not marathoning through TV shows on the weekend. So
true.
So I looked at my download total for TV shows, or the RSS feed that I use. I think I'm up to like 66 TV shows throughout the year, and most of them are on right now. And it just, it's getting kind of stupid, because it's like I want to do something, and then it's like I gotta watch these shows.
Wow.
So I don't know. And then part of me has to sit back and go, is there a point even watching all these shows? Like, do I even remember what happens in each show? And remarkably, yeah, I do. Like, I can, at least the ones that aren't train wrecks. I can actually remember enough about them to actually talk about what happened in them. So, but that's okay.
That's kind of the same thing with me. I watch so many, I mean, I don't watch quite the amount of shows you do, but the ones I do watch throughout the year, I can somehow keep the continuity together, and my wife and I sit and argue about what we think happened, and I'm about 95% of the time right.
Right. This next piece of news, the Batman versus Superman news about the office in Michigan. I'm kind of surprised you went with this one over the Batmobile news, unless you guys covered that last week.
We covered that one last week.
Oh, bummer.
I mean, we can still talk about it. I love talking about the Batmobile.
Well, I apologize. I have not had a chance to listen to the last episode yet. What was the, I guess, like, what's the, you know, it's the fact that GM is designing the Batmobile.
Well, the gist of the whole thing is it's a, and I'm going to pull back up the link and send it to you so you can look at it too. There is a Cadillac, a particular model of the Cadillac, that they're going to be using for the Batmobile.
Is it the updated XLR based off of the Stingray Corvette?
No, I've actually seen that. That is a crazy beast on the inside. Somebody traded one in, surprisingly enough.
The Stingray?
No, I've seen the Stingray, brand new, on our lot. It's like 80 grand car.
That thing is sick.
It's definitely sick. I've seen the Cadillac, though, and it's a lot of those are decked out too. This one is actually it's to resemble an older Cadillac. It's basically it's being designed, you know, by the GM Advanced Design Studio in North Hollywood.
That's the new DeVille. See,
it's the one that have done the Transformers 4 stuff, but because they're not going for the Tumblr look or whatever. No, they're not going for the. They're saying that it could be modeled after the 1943 Cadillac convertible, which I don't think it should be. There's that more streamlined Cadillac 16.
Yeah.
Which, if you kind of look at it, and if you added some...
It's the Batmobile you want, Steve.
I know. if you add some slight bat fins to the rear end of it, and you add a little, you know, a little bit of the flair of the Batman the Animated Series, you pretty much have the Batman the Animated Series car.
See, that's kind of what I was going to get at. I was going to say that I think you're going to get the Batmobile that you want to see, and I think that I'm, like, first of all, I've said it before, I'm a huge fan of the Tumblr. I didn't really care for too much. I mean, obviously, Tim Burton's Batmobile is iconic, right? But
oh, yeah, the Tumblr and the 66 Batmobiles are the most iconic.
I would throw the animated series Batmobiles in there, too.
Well, as far as live action, well,
yeah, but I was taking the Batmobiles as a whole. I think that, but I would take the Tumblr and then the animated series and then everything else. And I was thinking that, you know, because the Stingray is like a thing that just came back and it looks disgusting. And I think I think they're going to, you know, work an XLR or a Stingray into a Batmobile. And that's what you're going to get the I think it'll look more like the new adventures of Batman. Batmobile, like the one from the Justice League.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that one, but I personally like the other one much more.
Well, I agree.
I'm hoping that they go with that kind of 92 Batmobile kind of style. And if they go with the Cadillac 16, it's going to look pretty close.
So,
pretty comparable anyway. But yeah, that's I was drooling when I saw that information.
I've asked my dad to see if he can find anything else about this. And if he does,
about the Batmobile.
Yeah. I will try and share what I can without getting him in trouble.
Nice.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do. It's interesting to see. I mean, granted, I think GM is starting to make horrible cars again, or at least cars that are too expensive again.
Oh yeah, I won't deny that they're too expensive. Are they nice? Yes. Are there a lot of excessive features that they don't need? Yes.
Well, but it's not even that. Like, I don't really want to get in a car conversation, but they're not even like, it's not that they're, here's the problem. I can get a Ford Focus fully loaded with, you know, the Microsoft Sync and all that stuff in it for less than I can get a loaded Cruise. Less than I can get a loaded Cruise for. That, and it has the Ford has more features. Like, I don't.
Well,
what I don't like is that they're not even like competing with other car companies, and they're like their stuff is like a higher price for less toys.
I will not fight you on the Cruise. We originally were going to buy a Cruise before we bought the Sonic. The Sonic was actually the same price as the stick shift base model of a Cruise, but the Sonic was decked out. It was like an LT or LT2.
Nice.
And we paid the same price as what we would have paid for a stick shift base, you know, no CD player Cruise. And it's got, you know, Bluetooth, XM, you know, OnStar, like a lot of the, you know, USB, you know, you plug in your MP3 or your phone to it. I mean, it's
right.
And it's, you know, in 2012. And so, I mean, but I've also seen the new Impala that just came out, because
I'm in love with that car.
The old Impala was a pile of garbage and it should have been shot 3 years ago. But, because it wasn't even comparable to anything out on the market, even Chevy's other lineup. But the new Impala is just sick how much stuff is in it.
I like the new, like, okay, here's the thing.
I love the look, though.
Well, so do I, because one of my favorite cars ever, and I'm not a big car guy, so anyone that listens to this that is, they can laugh at me all they want. One of my favorite cars that GM's made in my lifetime was the 94, 95, 96 Chevy Impala. The one based off of the Caprice.
Like the Caprice?
Yes.
You know, the funny thing is they have the Caprice again.
Well, yeah, yeah.
It's a cop cruiser.
Right. But I like that Impala, and it went away, and it came back in, like, the early 2000s as the piece of, you know, the junk car that just left. The newest one seems to recall more of the 95, 96 Impala than the previous one, which is great, because one just looks awesome and then the other one just looks awesomer. So, but at the same time, that's like my favorite car, and I'm like, oh, they have a brand new one, and I was like, I'm gonna go look at this, because they're like, Chevy, more affordable, blah blah blah, go and look at it, and the one that I would want is like still like way out of my price range. I'm like, holy,
like 38 grand,
crap. And I'm just like, geez. I mean, maybe I could lease one, but I'd rather lease a Volt before I leased an Impala.
Well, the thing is what they don't want to tell you is there's no rebates for anything. They won't have any rebates until the first quarter of 2014.
The GM discount doesn't even apply?
It does, but you're not going to see any kind of price cuts until 2014 on some of these models.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I'm very interested in it, because I like the way that it looks. I like the wheels that they chose for it. For some reason, a car to me can be made or broken just by the wheels.
Oh, yeah, you can tell if it's, I mean, if it's got cheap-looking wheels. And granted, I'm not a car guy either, for the most part. I like certain models, certain cars. Like, I like the current Equinox. I like the current Impala. I don't mind the Sonic just because it's an affordable thing for the features. But
I like the Sonic.
I work at a car lot. Doesn't necessarily mean I care for the cars. So...
Right. No, I used to, like, I think we talked about it before, I used to work for Superior Pontiac, so I used to get to drive around all the cars, too, so. All right, so that was a long tangent about cars when we were just trying to talk about Batman opening up offices, you know, production design and offices here in Michigan.
Yeah, they're opening a production office at Raleigh, Michigan Studios in Pontiac, which they've also picked a production designer who did stuff for 300 Rise of an Empire, iRobot, and Independence Day.
Okay. I liked iRobot and Independence Day.
So, I mean, I could definitely see the, you know, kind of scope of the type of action if they're, you know, what they're going for. And I could see it being plausible with this.
Right.
Kind of makes me want to actually go down there and, like, stalk them during the time, though. Because I kind of know roughly the area that that's at, so
I could be wrong, but I think my employment at the theater being union based, if I think I could get into that production. I think I don't know for sure because it's never actually happened, but the
that would be interesting.
It's not just a projectionist union that I'm in. They were also at one time, they were like the guys that would do the lighting and all that stuff at like the Whiting Auditorium.
Oh, nice.
They would handle all like that stuff and help with the stage work. So I believe some of that stuff is still a thing. I'm not entirely sure, and I might not even be like employed with the union long enough to even do that, but no, that would be neat, because I remember I had conversations with, you know, the union president, the business agent, like 3 years ago when Michigan first decided it was going to open up some kind of production thing in Pontiac. But those conversations never went anywhere, because I think this may be the first movie to actually use it. I know there are other movies that were shot in Michigan.
No, Oz the Great and Powerful used it.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think that was the last one to use it, and I think I want to say that Transformers 4 is going to use it as well.
Hmm. All right. Let's see. Did you guys talk about the supposed look of the new bat suit in the last episode? With the shorter ears?
I think we briefly talked about it, if we did at all. I know it more so had to do with, no, we didn't talk about the last episode, I don't think. I did read that they're contemplating going for either the New 52 look or the Batman Noel.
Okay.
Which I wasn't familiar with the Batman Noel style batsuit. But I guess that's what they're really leaning towards as of right now. The new cowl and the suit will take cues from that.
Okay.
Which I mean I looked at the imagery from that comic, and I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't look like it's all battle armor either. It doesn't look like it's, you know, the tights or any of that kind of stuff either, but it's kind of like a, I don't know, it could be some kind of a happy medium between the two.
Right. Okay. Earth's first city of the future coming in 2017, but not to America because we don't have time for this stuff.
No, we've got other problems, like, you know, trying to figure out how to push the deadline for the budget in another 3 months.
No, we're too busy bombing countries like this.
Yeah, that's true. Instead of actually, you know, coming up with ideas to revolutionize things. So,
it looks cool. It looks like they're trying to go for that Dubai stuff.
Yeah, I guess it's
Actually, it looks like Disney World with Epcot Center.
Yeah, but it looks like a futuristic Epcot, and like with a nice blue light special in the middle.
Yeah, I always thought Epcot Center was just a giant golf ball.
I did too. I thought everything was inside it at one point before I actually went. Boy, was I wrong.
Actually, this also looks like it could be an Olympic City or an Apple campus.
Well, the funny thing is I guess they want to try and turn it into a place for the 2017 Olympics or something.
Okay.
Or some kind of an expo that's supposed to be around at that time. But I guess that the site breaks ground next year.
This is one of those projects where I wish Discovery Channel, Learning Channel, stuff like History Channel, I wish they still had like actual TV shows rather than the reality stuff, because you know they'd be doing specials on the construction of this.
Oh, I know. I think this would be really interesting and kind of motivate people. And I kind of chose this because I stumbled upon it somewhere and I was like, this would be a nice breakup for all the movie and TV stuff that we've been doing.
I love looking at this stuff. I like the Tower of Dubai and the Burj. I can never figure out how to pronounce it. I know it's Burj, the Burj Dubai, like the world's tallest tower. Like that thing, that's awesome. I love great work projects or great works projects, like, the tallest building or like the biggest wall, the biggest dam. Like, I love stuff like that. Like do you remember the show Extreme Engineering on the Discovery Channel?
Yeah, I vaguely remember it. I didn't actually watch it, but I remember seeing the commercials for it.
It's on, they have like the first season on Netflix or something like that, and they cover like building like rail bridges underwater between here and Europe and all these other like just crazy things. I love this stuff. I like it when people like bridges that that stretch for miles. It's like I like that human beings can, the best of us can see a problem and just like not let it get in the way. It's just kind of like, how are we gonna bridge this? Like the Mackinac Bridge. Amazing. And that's just here. I mean, I love watching documentaries on like the Empire State Building and stuff like that, and it's crazy. So this kind of stuff is really neat. There was I'm trying to remember another show that did that. They brought up the, I can't remember the name of it right now. I know there's another one's like called Biggest, like Tallest, Longest, Biggest or something like that. And they followed like the evolution of something over time, like planes. They started with like the biplane and they worked their way all the way up to like the giant, like the A330 Airbus planes.
Oh, nice.
And they show like the evolution, like why did they do this? Why did they make that step? Why did they do that? And they did one for like the world's tallest buildings, and they started with like a one-story house, and then they moved up and they showed like with the advent of the elevator, buildings could be over five stories tall. And then of course they moved on to steel frame construction, and they did the same thing for boats and bridges. All that stuff is just really neat to me. It's all useless information unless you're having like this kind of conversation. But it's just fun.
I honestly think that this design kind of looked like something you'd watch on one of Mainframe's cartoons, the reboot.
That's true. Okay, I accidentally scrolled down to the comments on this article.
Was that actually in there?
No, someone has a picture of the Hoth base, the laser cannon, the ion cannon from Hoth in there.
I see that now. That's funny.
That's not a moon. That's an expo center.
Nice. Bad puns, but it's still good.
Yes, yes.
No, but I think that because they're talking about having a clean energy grid. They're talking that, you know, this could possibly be like a start of a third industrial revolution in essence, because it's all clean and new. I don't know. I kind of am looking to see how this turns out, because they're talking about like a renewable clean energy, you know, like smart energy grid that it kind of, and then it has like kind of an energy internet type thing is what they're talking about. Kind of interesting concepts. I don't know how it would be applied, but
right.
I think that if this is successful, I think that we could easily apply it to our dead and dying cities, you know, like Detroit and
yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. That would never happen.
Most places,
they bulldoze it to the ground first.
Most places can't even get decent internet. There's no way we're going to end up with something like this.
It's sad when other countries, or even that Google setup that you and I had talked about before, have faster internet speeds than what anybody else has at this point.
Was it OCP? RoboCop? It's like, this is what Detroit's supposed to look like.
Yeah. I wonder if that was actually like some kind of an influence.
Who knows?
I don't know. I'm chalking it up to it's from Reboot. But moving on.
All right. Looks like you've got some Transformers news here.
Yeah, I figured since all things Transformers is pretty much...
I thought you were still on the fence about that one.
I'm still on the fence, but I'm probably going to kill it. Yes, I made that public. I'm probably going to kill that show.
Don't worry, guys. I'll let him talk about Transformers stuff here. Let him. Like, it's my show.
Yeah. It's not like I'm going to talk about that much of it, because I'm not into the whole rumor mill all that much. Yeah, they have a Transformers 4 Age of Extinction. They have basically caught Peter Cullen voicing, you know, which everybody kind of knew he was going to be back anyway. But then... they were saying that some of the audio might be spoilers for closer to the end of the movie, and then of course they also have in the kind of the same vicinity of the news character renders of everything.
These actually look kind of cool.
I'm kind of excited because they took the designs of Prime and Bumblebee from the previous sets of movies, and it looks like they mixed them with Transformers Prime.
Yeah, this looks more like a... Okay, because a lot of people complained about Bay's Transformers being overly complicated.
These look a lot smoother and simplified.
Yeah, I was going to say they look more like they could be for an upcoming TV show than for a movie. Like, these don't... I mean, obviously, these are just simple renderings. Simple, quote-unquote. But I feel like these are too simple for a theatrical release. Like, I could be wrong. And they might look different when they're, like, on film with grain and other special effects added in there and stuff like that. But just looking at these photos, they look like they could be for an upcoming TV show.
Which I wouldn't put it past it, because I know that... behind the scenes somewhere, they're actually going to resurrect Transformers Prime with a new TV show eventually, and it's pretty much going to be the same characters coming back, so, you know, infer to that what you will, but if these are the Transformers 4 designs, I can't say that I'll be disappointed.
No, I wouldn't either.
And I agree, they do look, you know, a little simple for the film universe, but I would take this version of Prime over the ones we had in the previous trilogy.
These almost look like they could be toys. Like, just mock-ups of what the toys should look like. As well. Like, yeah. If you look up at the top, there's this... They've got that picture, you know, it says Transformers Movie 4 Phase 2. And it says Fall Winter 2014 Licensing Style Guide.
Yeah, that could be.
It just seems more like it might be for toys or t-shirts or something like this. Like, the movie may have... They may look like this in the movie, but I think in the movie they're going to come out more complex.
That's possible. I kind of hope that they would change Prime and make him look like when he got reformatted in Transformers Prime.
I haven't gotten that far in Prime yet.
It's he's kind of a badass when he gets reformatted. It's not it's complicated, but it's not. It kind of gives him a little bit of the G1 vibe, but keeps it kind of, I don't know. It's like a Power Master / Transformers Prime / Generation 1.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, I kind of dig in the designs once I saw these.
All right. So it looks like Harrison Ford thinks everybody wants to see Indiana Jones 5, and he has twisted Disney's arm into putting Indy 5 in production, otherwise he won't show up in Star Wars Episode 7. What a jerk.
That's kind of a dick move.
I think people care more about one than the other, especially, well, I shouldn't really say, I was going to say especially after the fourth one, but then again, we've had three extremely mediocre Star Wars movies. So
I think it's going to be kind of a toss-up there, because, I mean, I'll argue, I mean, I'm not a big Indiana Jones fan, but I kind of like the first three. Fourth one is, like Mike would say, Blanchard would say, as far as like DCAU type stuff. Teen Titans is not in continuity. Well, you know.
Are we 100? I really don't want to go down this really long rabbit hole with this. But are we entirely sure Teen Titans is not in continuity? Are you like 100% positive on that?
I'm not 100%, but it's not a Bruce Timm production. So technically it's not okay. In continuity, because it's not for one, it's not his animation, it's not his team.
Well, it's
so it's
the
it has to do with some of the same characters that show up at some point, mostly the Robin character. The rest of them don't actually make any kind of an appearance.
But it's
also supposed to be kind of a Dick Grayson.
Right. The art style isn't that far off, though. I mean, I know that, yes, it does break off into the wacky, like, side skit stuff and the over-the-top, you know, anime cues here and there and stuff like that. It does get a little wacky. It's not... The theme of the show isn't as tonally serious as, like, the Timverse stuff is. But I really never saw it. And plus, I actually really enjoyed that show. Some of the stories they told in it, it could go to a very dark place. I actually watched it because my friend was really into it, and he suggested it to me. But
I never got into it, but that has nothing to do with saying it's out of continuity. It's just I think it could have a place there, but being that Dick Grayson's actually Nightwing. And, you know, or he's older in the show, so, I mean, it would have to take place before the entire DCAU if that were to happen.
Well, the other thing with Teen Titans is they never say who that Robin is.
They hint at it later, it's Dick Grayson.
They hint at it a lot of times, but they never actually, sometimes they hint at Tim Drake, sometimes they hint at Dick Grayson. It's never been confirmed as to who it is. At least not that I've seen, not in the show, at least. Maybe like in an interview with somebody it was confirmed, but I do remember in one show vaguely, like, Dick Grayson, like, there's some, he was getting his head messed with or something like that, or someone was diving into his mind and Dick Grayson scrolled across the screen backwards. That would probably be the most telling part of it, but you know, I don't think they ever come out on the nose and say which Robin he actually is. Especially since he has the staff and he's definitely wearing Tim Drake's outfit.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I kind of can see that too, but who knows?
Yeah, okay, but like I said, I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole. I just wanted to see, like... And I understand people not liking it and stuff because it gets kind of... It does get kind of wacky, but it can go to some more dark, serious places too. So
I would take that one over Teen Titans Go, though.
Yeah, I haven't checked out Go yet. I probably won't.
So. It's stupid. I've caught one by accident. It was after Beware the Batman.
Man, how the
before they decided to kick that off TV too.
No, going back to the Indiana Jones discussion. No, I was saying that the three I was comparing Indiana Jones to Star Wars. I wasn't comparing the first three Indiana Jones, saying that they were mediocre. I was saying the first three, the last three Star Wars movies were mediocre.
No, I okay. definitely agree with that.
Okay.
I would not question that. I don't think that the new trilogy needs to focus primarily on those, on Hamill, Fisher, or Ford, but I think that they should at least have a place in this episode 7 to kind of, you know.
A handoff.
Yeah, a handoff. I could see it working that way. I mean, Hamill, I think, should be in the entire new trilogy, even if he's kind of like the Obi-Wan Yoda role. You know, kind of there if they need him kind of thing, and for guidance, but not really all that important.
I guess.
I could kind of see him, but the other two are kind of, after the episode 7, I kind of find them irrelevant.
Okay.
So if you had to keep anybody from the original trilogy, I would say Hamill, but other than that, I wouldn't keep anybody beyond episode 7.
Okay.
But I think it's kind of a dick move for him to twist Disney's arm, like, yeah, I'm not going to do this job unless you give me my other job that I like better, you know?
Yeah.
Which nobody cares about at this point because they, you know, it's kind of, you know, adding Shia LaBeouf didn't help.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I wouldn't care, you know, to see him play some of his old roles again, but I don't think anybody honestly cares at this point about Indiana Jones.
No, I mean, Indiana Jones was never a thing for me. I believe I either talked about it on MY or I talked about it here. It's like when you grow up, well, at least when I grew up, with my group of friends, there was definitely like, there was a moment in our lives where our parents sat us down and said, you need to watch this trilogy or you need to watch this trilogy. And for me, my dad sat me down and made me watch Star Wars. And for some of my other friends, they made them sit down and watch Indiana Jones. And for some of my other friends, their parents made them watch both of them. So like I have a strong love for Star Wars, but no real dislike for Indiana Jones. And some people really like Indiana Jones, and some people really like both of them among my friends. So I don't know.
Yeah. Did you hear that, and this is kind of somewhat new, you know, while we're talking about this, they're already talking about delaying Star Wars Episode 7 till 2016.
That's fine.
Which I'm fine with if they can manage to do it right.
I'm wondering what, I don't know. I use that phrasing too, like, oh, it's fine, as long as I can do it right. But what, it's kind of weird, like, you ask the question.
If they can do it justice, like, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they've kind of finally hit on the writing team.
Right.
And they've come down to the conclusion that they're going to pick the guy that helped write the part of the original trilogy.
Yep.
Which I think helps things drastically because out of, you know, the films, I think he would be able to help more so with passing the torch of characters he actually wrote for.
Right.
The other thing that would be kind of odd is it would be pitting it against Star Trek 3 or 13.
Huh.
Because that's set for a 2016 release as well.
But, yeah, I don't know.
That's still kind of rumor speculation, but
plus Marvel's going to have whatever they have that summer, and DC will probably have something that summer.
Well, let's just face it, Marvel's mopping the floor with anything Disney's come out with. Marvel is the only like moneymaker for them that they've managed to, you know, out of everything they've had so far since they bought Marvel.
Yeah, but I think that's because Johnny Depp's gotten old. Or the Jerry Bruckheimer movies haven't been as popular as they once were. I think some of their more family friendly, and I don't mean that Marvel stuff isn't family friendly, but I think some of their more family fare still does fairly well. I mean, yeah, it's not, you know, blockbusters like the Avengers with, you know, $1 billion here and there, but the Marvel stuff may bring Disney more money, but I don't think it's definitely not Disney's only source of revenue. It's just the biggest dollar amount. It's like per movie. So yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. I just I don't know. Sometimes I don't really think of Marvel as being a Disney thing until we actually sit down and start discussing it as like, yeah, it's a Disney thing. Great. So, all right. Last little bit of news here, it looks like. We can just kind of talk about these really quick. Six movies that are inexplicably getting sequels a decade later. This list comes from Cracked. Number six, a sequel to movies that I have never seen. Beverly Hills Cop is getting a fourth one.
I like that series. I would watch it.
I'm aware of them. I've just never been introduced to them.
I have them. I think that they're pretty good. I'd rather watch that than watch, say, like Lethal Weapon or something. Just because I like Lethal Weapon, don't get me wrong, but I'd rather watch this just because I find it more entertaining. It was back in the day when Eddie Murphy actually was good. Now that he's not in his prime, it's like all the action stars or all the, you know, guys that were big in the 80s, they're going back to what actually made them money because they suck at everything else that's out nowadays.
Well, I don't know about that because Schwarzenegger and Stallone can't seem to make money on anything that isn't Expendables.
Well, that's still kind of playing their 80s personas. I'm saying that they have to play their kind of original roles in order to actually get a film where people will want to see it.
You're saying they have to return to the original properties. Got you.
Yeah, they have to, like, if they're going, like, the new Schwarzenegger movie and Stallone movie that came out beginning of the year, nobody really gave a rip about them. And then, what was it, The Escape Plan?
Yeah.
I've seen that. That's not bad. It's like another kind of a different take on Shawshank, except you have guys that are like kind of crazy and bulky and everything. But
speaking of Eddie Murphy and Arnold Schwarzenegger, number five, Triplets, which is a sequel to Twins, which was released in the 80s. Yet another movie I've never seen.
I don't give a crap about this one.
Okay.
I didn't like the first one of that, so I wouldn't watch the second.
Moving on to number four is Army of Darkness 2 or Evil Dead number 4. Here's something interesting. I have never made it to Army of Darkness. I've watched Evil Dead, and then I watched Evil Dead 2, and I stopped because Evil Dead 2, in my opinion, is essentially a remake of Evil Dead with more money. And I know that Army of Darkness, you know, that there's something completely different happening in Army of Darkness. I've just never sat down to watch it. So we'll have to see what's happening.
I've never seen any of them, nor do I care to.
I do like Bruce Campbell, though.
Yeah, I like him, but that's about the only saving grace for that.
Number three is Beetlejuice 2, because even directors need to go back to where they got their stuff from.
Because everything they've done recently sucks.
And Michael Keaton will probably reprise his role as long as he gets to wear the makeup, so no one can see how old he actually is.
Well, I've been reading a lot lately that even when they're asking him about Batman stuff, he's been saying that he wants to do a sequel to Beetlejuice and play Beetlejuice again.
Hmm.
He's been talking about it for at least 5 years.
So maybe they'll make Multiplicity 2.
I would watch that.
I would too. That's sad.
The first one was good, so.
Yes, it was. It was very good. Number two is Blade Runner 2. I have talked about this on MWire. The one time I watched Blade Runner, I don't seem to have watched the same movie that everybody else watched. I don't really want to take the heat for it that I did in the MWire comments on that movie, on that thread. I'm not saying the movie's bad by any means. I'm just saying when I look at screenshots or I see a trailer or anything like that having to do with Blade Runner, I don't ever remember seeing those scenes in the movie, and those scenes look really cool. And I'm just like, I don't think I saw the same movie. So
funny thing is he wants to reprise. He would reprise it if they asked him to.
That's fine.
Which I didn't watch the first one. I don't know. Didn't. The other thing that kind of I think shoots this in the foot. Screenwriter's responsible for Green Lantern.
So moving on.
Yeah.
Last one before we move on to some listener feedback. Number one, Top Gun 2. And I think that's all that needs to be said about that.
Yeah, I'm not even getting into that.
Yeah. Okay.
Old men trying to fly planes. And it jokes about unaged Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Kind of like Nicolas Cage.
Right. Okay. Now, what was the question from the last movie? Or from the last... Was there a whole series of them?
I believe I gave out three? Yeah, I gave out three. The first being, what shows do you like to consume in full on things like Netflix, or do you prefer to watch them week to week on TV?
Okay. I mean,
or how do you like to consume them more so?
I personally will take TV shows any way that I can get them. I do like watching them on Netflix. I especially like watching them on my PS3. I think the 360 does this, and I know some other versions of Netflix do this. The next episode will just immediately start up.
It does that on a lot of the new players.
See, it doesn't do that on my Apple TV, and that really annoys me. Like, I use I use my Apple TV for streaming purposes because it uses less power than everything else in my house. And the Netflix app is really the only thing that's kind of lacking with it, because it adheres to the Apple TV design SKU, which is horrible compared to the more traditional Netflix, which is where you always see the box art in like rows of box art, like kind of like browsing a video store.
Yeah.
It doesn't adhere to that user interface. It just adheres to a list of movies. It's kind of annoying. So, but I'll take TV shows any way I can get them on there. I also download a lot of TV shows. So some shows that I'm currently watching right now, like Once Upon a Time and Revenge, and I think there's one or two others. I like to save up like maybe a month's worth of episodes in the marathon, four or five episodes at a time, because I think that makes those shows better than watching them week to week, which I think I've talked about before.
Yeah.
So
it depends on the show for me. Some of them I'll watch on Netflix. Like, if it's a show that's been canceled or a show that's on break or something and it's on Netflix, I'll watch it there. I try and watch all my shows as they air week to week, like Revolution, Blacklist, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Supernatural. I've recently gotten back into Arrow. Although, if I miss them, I watch them when I have an off night that I'm not recording and my wife passes out, and I watch them all on demand, and I marathon through a bunch of different shows if I happen to miss them all. So, but I tend to watch all my shows as they release, and then if I miss them, like I said, I watch on demand. But if it's something that I haven't been watching or picked up kind of late in the game, I'll marathon through Netflix.
All right. Looks like you also said, what is the wrong with cartoons today?
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine. It sounds like internet speak. So, to be honest, I've mentioned before, I have no nostalgia for any of the older stuff. So it's kind of like, I can actually watch some of the new stuff that comes out. And some of the older stuff is kind of hard to watch. So it's almost kind of like, what is wrong with cartoons in general to a certain extent? There are some that I think withstand the test of time, although I can't really think of one right now. But there are a lot of really neat cartoon shows that are out there. I think some of them you just have to kind of wade into to actually find out if they're any good or not. I've said it on this show before. I really do enjoy the Avatar Last Airbender series on Nickelodeon. I think they do an amazing job with those characters and with that world that they've built up. I will admit to when I got into it after it had already aired and had been finished. It did come back on the air a year ago, but with a brand new set of characters and a completely different time period. But I remember seeing the original run on TV, like over at my parents' house, and my little brother would be watching it, or it'd be on, and I'd be like, man, this looks so dumb. It just seems so, you know, mindless. But it was on Netflix. I went up on Netflix and I decided to actually watch a couple episodes. I got totally sucked into it. Hook, line, and sinker. The show gradually takes on a more serious tone as it progresses through like the first three seasons. By the end of it, by the last season, it actually gets into some pretty dark territory, especially for a kid's show. I was kind of surprised that the entire series actually ran on Nickelodeon and not on something kind of like Adult Swim. That might even be pushing it a little too far, but do you remember like Toonami?
Oh yeah.
Back
in its prime.
Yeah. Avatar, the Last Airbender series or the Avatar series in general would have been completely at home in the Toonami time slot. That is the level of storytelling and content in that series. Like that's it easily could have been there, or like maybe like the first show in the Adult Swim block or something like that. Another series of shows that I actually enjoy, I do enjoy a lot of the Adult Swim stuff. Like I did enjoy there was a time where I did enjoy Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I still do. I can still laugh at some of it.
As do I.
I do enjoy Venture Brothers. I did, when it was on, I know it's coming back for a fourth season. I do enjoy the Boondocks. I like the animation style. I like the writing. I think it's really funny. My cat is actually named after one of the characters.
Nice.
Another show that was actually referenced in the comment section, by our own, TFG1 Mike, he actually brought it up as a show that he disliked, was the Total Drama series. The idea behind the show, first of all, the animation is not that great. And when I first got into the show, I remember I was the kind of person that would just leave Cartoon Network on in the background all the time. So I would watch stuff in passing. And I eventually got hooked on the first season of Total Drama Island. I got really hooked on it because I thought what they were doing was really funny. It was a serialized cartoon, and what they were doing is just they were riffing or a satire on reality television.
Okay.
So like the first season is basically kind of like watching a season of Survivor. You get all the cast members, they've been asked out onto this island. You've got the crazy host that asks them to do insane challenges, and each episode revolves around the challenge of the week, just like a reality television show. The only difference is it's scripted and it's animated, so they can get away with a lot of crazy stuff. And, okay, call me a mild pervert if you want, but the one thing that got me, that made me pay attention to Total Drama Island, that set it apart from other cartoon shows on the network, was there was an episode where there was a challenge where they had to do like a tug of war with jet skis in a mud pile. And one of the, obviously the contestants are all wearing swimwear, and one of the female contestants gets her top ripped off, and they do the pixelated art thing. I was like, what? Whoa, okay, I think I'm going to pay attention to this show now, because I'm looking for like innuendo and all this. I'm looking for like deeper meanings in the dialogue and stuff like that. And it was really neat. And obviously it plays down, people get voted off the island. or knocked out of competitions and stuff like that. It basically, it's just like a reality television series, and I hate reality television series. And the other neat thing about this is they had all the voice actors sign non-disclosure agreements. So they couldn't talk about the show until the season finale had actually aired. So they couldn't reveal who the winner was going to be.
Wow.
In interviews. So it was like you had to actually watch the show from beginning to end to see who the winner is. And the thing, and I started watching, season two is called Total Drama Action. And there's a third season, which I think is called Total Drama World Tour. However, they are, Total Drama Action brings back some of the cast from the first episode, some of the characters from the first season, they get invited back. It's the same crazy host. Total Drama Action revolves around, it's another reality series set, but it's on a movie. It's on a movie set. So they're riffing on movies. All the challenges are movie based and stuff like that. And there's just crazy zany characters. And of course it's the same thing. Non-disclosure agreements for the cast, so they can't talk about what's happening on the show and stuff like that. I just thought that was a really neat spin on that whole thing. I mean, I can understand how the art style is a little off-putting. It's very basic. But the characters and the stories and stuff like that that they tell are quite funny. And I do appreciate that, especially because I hate reality television. So it's like almost like they were right there with me. I'm trying to think if there's any other... I mean, obviously, TMNT is good. The one knock I have with it that I think I've said before is that the lack of civilians in New York City. There never seems to be any background characters.
It seems to be surprisingly barren.
Yeah, especially for like one of the largest cities on Earth. So, but I just think you have to look a little harder. I mean, yeah, Young Justice was good. Thundercats was good, and you know, Beware the Bat. Well, you said, is it Beware the Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said Beware the Batman was good, but it's kind of like, I think you just have to, and it's unfortunate that they were canceled, because it does seem like some of these shows aren't given their due, but it's sometimes it's like, you got to wonder, I mean, we don't get to see all the information on these things, you know? And why something gets canceled or something moved. Because I know that, like, even Star Wars The Clone Wars was, like, a really popular show. And I'm pretty sure if Cartoon Network had wanted to, they would have renewed it. But they probably weren't allowed to. Not that it went to a different network, but it was just over. I think that cartoons can still be good. I think we just have to try a little harder to find the ones that are still on. And I think that if they're the ones that are still on, I think there might be something to them. Like, I've never seen Phineas and Ferb, but that's been on for a while. And I've
tried watching it. I don't have the love for it that TFG won and Pecan Court Michael like.
Well, I know that I believe Danner on Off the Cuff also enjoys it too, but I haven't sat down to watch it. But I think that, you know, that's just one of those gems where it's like, maybe you just got to give it the fair shake. I mean, if you've tried it and you don't like it, that's one thing. But I think maybe you just got to look a little harder and everything's just not right there in front of you. Oh no, we have to work for our entertainment.
Like, I mean, I agree to some amount there, but I think that, for instance, it kind of hurts it that, one, there's no Saturday morning stuff anymore. Two, there's the fact that, you know, people don't actually watch TV in the traditional way. So there's no actual, like, full-on metrics that, like, they used to have back in the day.
And cartoons aren't cheap.
No, well, especially when they, you know, I mean, some... you know, regular animated ones, you know, aren't, and then some CG ones aren't, and granted, most things are CG now, whereas barely anything's done the old-fashioned way. It's kind of disappointing. I feel like Cartoon Network, for one, is one that tends to kill shows very quickly. For whatever reason, it seems like they never make it a season before they butcher them. especially if they're like, for instance, you know, the Thundercats revival, the anything superhero related, they've killed off pretty quick. I don't know, it's just kind of strange to me, but I'm not saying that it isn't, you know, that there aren't behind the scenes things. It just seems like Cartoon Network is kind of a bad bet to put things on for it, for more of the that kind of content.
But you have to wonder, though, Cartoon Network is the one that thought it could work and ordered a season.
But then they cancel it halfway through.
But that's the thing. They thought it would work, and they put it out there, and they, and all of a sudden they realize that it's not working, and they pull it. It's kind of, but it's not like, maybe Cartoon Network gets first dibs on something. Maybe that's the way it is, or maybe they bid on it because they thought it would actually work, and it didn't. Like, where else could a cartoon, like, where else can a cartoon show even show up right now? Like,
well, like, if it's animated, if it's DC related, it could go on CW easily on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings, because they play that stuff anyway. They play reruns of Justice League or Dragon Ball Z or Kai, or they play a bunch of old cartoons. They don't play anything new. And then of course Hub has, you know, things, old properties like Transformers, G.I. Joe, you know, stuff like that. So I mean, it kind of depends on the network that you're on, like TMNT and Nickelodeon. I think there's a place for everything.
Well, but I think that, and I agree with that, but I think that, you know, like the case with like Young Justice or the superhero stuff, I think Cartoon Network was known for a long time for, you know, the Justice League series, and that was really popular, right? So
I don't think that was Cartoon Network, though.
It was on Cartoon Network.
It may have been at one time, but I think it originally aired on the WB.
I think Unlimited was a Cartoon Network thing.
To the Googles.
I could be very, very wrong. I never watched it on WB. I never watched any of that stuff on WB. I always watched it on Cartoon Network. But for a while, that was like the place where you went for that stuff. So maybe they thought, you know, we've got people that are watching these shows, so let's get more DC superhero stuff. But maybe people aren't. Maybe the same people aren't interested in that stuff. And maybe they're more interested in the older stuff, which is why CW does air that stuff on Saturday and Sunday mornings, because that's what people actually want to see.
Yeah. I mean, that could be too. We were both right. Justice League itself was on Kids WB, and Cartoon Network, it looks like, had part of Justice League Unlimited, and so did Kids WB. So,
yeah, I just think that's kind of what they were known for, and it's like, well, I just think that's what it is. It's like, people liked us for this, so let's get this stuff. And then they throw it up there, and people don't respond to it. And part of that may be the demographic for stuff. I mean, I love the Justice League stuff, but I don't have cable, and I don't sit there and watch Cartoon Network, partially because I tuned out of Cartoon Network the minute I saw live action stuff on there.
I kind of was done with Cartoon Network as soon as I saw that too, because it's Cartoon Network. Right. Create another network, you know, for that kind of content.
So I'm wondering if what happened was, you know, you have that audience that was like, I'm going to come to Cartoon Network because they're playing cartoons all the time and cartoons that I like to watch. And then all of a sudden they throw in the live action stuff. So it's like, oh, well, now I don't want to leave it on Cartoon Network. I'm going to go watch something else that I want to watch. And then they're not checking back on Cartoon Network to see when their shows are on, and they're not finding out about new shows. Because if you have to admit, outside of like maybe a magazine, or you visit the right websites, you see something, maybe you do see them in like circles or like ad banners or something like that. But most of the time I learn about new TV shows either through like Twitter or through like that lower third slug that they put on TV shows, when it's like, check out the new episode of this coming up next, or, you know, this, that, and the other thing, you know, on Wednesday nights. Like, I feel like because maybe a portion of that audience had tuned out that they never came back. So
yeah,
and the people that did stay despite all that, they weren't. It wasn't a large enough audience. Yeah, it's a very vocal. Maybe it could be considered a vocal majority now because maybe the larger audience has left, apparently. But that's probably not enough to sustain a show. So, but you know, who knows? It stuff happens behind the scenes and everything. So, the last question: do you think comic-based fiction has lost or losing their appeal? I'm not reading a whole lot of comics right now, but there isn't a storyline that I'm actually interested in to draw me back in. We're just talking about comics, right? Like the paper?
No,
or in general.
In general, like as far as whether it's comic, film, cartoon, TV.
I'm still all for like a visual medium for comic books, like movies and television. The comic book themselves, I'm a bit beyond that just because I don't want to spend the money for something that I'll finish in 30 seconds. And two, I just can think of a better way to spend my time. So, all right, let's see what some of the readers had to say.
Yes.
Listeners had to say. I made that mistake on off the cuff as well. All right. Start us off here. Connor Murphy says, we can go back and forth here. I think the issue with cartoons today is how networks don't let cartoons gain audiences. Unless it's a huge hit out of the gate, it's gone. I also don't think comics have lost their luster. All the movies have me more into comics more than ever. Plus, with more different independent comics and the breakout of Walking Dead, we are seeing comics try new and different things. I mean, obviously we just had a lengthy discussion about cartoons. I mean, you could say the problem with the cartoons and the gaining audiences thing, you could say that about anything. And I think that if anything, from what I've seen of like Young Justice and with Thundercats and did Beware the Batman just get like can't like it's not getting a second season, or did they pull it in the middle of its first season?
They pulled it in the middle of its first season, but there's the only report that's out there right now is the voice actor that plays Batman says that it's coming back in January.
Well, that could be true too.
But there's also no official word from Cartoon Networks. It just they're the only thing that they're saying is it's not a part of their current lineup.
Well, okay.
They moved another Teen Titans Go in place of it.
All right, and that's probably playing better if you think about it. I mean, it's probably more kids that are actually actually sit down and watch it. What I was getting at with that though is I can't really fault Cartoon Network for canceling Young Justice, and I can't fault them for canceling Thundercats, considering Young Justice got 2 seasons. And if it couldn't get the following in 2 seasons, then, well, any show would get canceled after that. And Thundercats got a full season order as well, so apparently not enough people are watching that. And you could say that the not letting something gain an audience, you could say that about anything, any TV show, because there are TV shows that get canceled after one episode. And that's just because you can't get anyone to tune in no matter how much you market it, you know? And I also have to wonder if a lot of these things are they don't have, Cartoon Network just doesn't have, or any network for that matter, really, it doesn't have a good lead-in show. Like, they don't have a show right now that they could play something new afterwards that people would just automatically tune into because they're leaving it on the same channel. But, you know, as far as the comics and the mediums and stuff like that, yeah, I'm enjoying what comics are doing. I'm enjoying the success of Walking Dead because I'm really enjoying the games. The games are amazing. Not the survival game that was based off of AMC's The Walking Dead, but the Telltale game of Walking Dead is amazing. it was off the cuffs game of the year last year. So, do you want to tell us what Ryan Hannity had to say?
He says comics today are garbage. Don't really know why, but I think it has something to do with networks just not treating cartoons with any respect. Unless it's Family Guy or meant for adults, they just don't care.
Yeah, but I think that when you have an audience, an adult audience is probably worth more than a child audience. When you think about marketers.
Well, yeah, because the adults have the money.
Exactly.
Kids don't have money.
Exactly. And I think that's why stuff like that tends to, the more adult cartoons tend to stick around is because they can charge more for marketing dollars, which means they can get the cost of the show covered and yada, 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 yada. Dragono says, well, I can't wait to hear the top 100 anime countdown. Is that coming this week? It starts this week, right? Tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow will be the actual first episode of the countdown. Or actually, it's not tomorrow. It's the same. A couple hours after this episode's release.
Right, so depending on what order you listen to them in, you could have already listened to the 100 animated, or you'll listen to it after this one.
Huh. Yeah.
But, yeah. I barely watch anything that isn't streaming or on demand for TV. I can't think of the last time I watched a show the exact same time it came on. In fact, even if I'm capable of doing so, I will work on something else and come back to it so I can fast forward through the commercials. We don't have cable in my house. As technologically advanced as I like to say that I am, we don't have cable here. We rely on the internet for everything in this house. I do subscribe to Hulu Plus and Netflix, and we have Amazon Prime and HBO Go. I do have a cable subscription, but it's not hooked up. That's how I was able to get the best deal on my internet.
Makes sense.
Let's see. I do remember, like, one of the things I used to do when I was a kid and I'd watch TV, I would watch the History Channel, and from 10 to 2, they would do, like, Modern Marvels, and from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., they'd do Modern Marvels, something else, and something else, and then at 2 a.m., they'd repeat everything, the 10 o'clock block over again. So
okay.
I would do, like, homework or this, that, and the other thing from, like, 10 to 2 a.m. while that stuff was on in the background, and if there was, like, an interesting topic, I would be like, okay, I need to check that when it comes back around again. So, yes, that means on a school night in high school, I was up until 4 o'clock in the morning. And then getting up and going to school and repeating that every night.
Nice.
And then later on, I started doing that with Cartoon Network, especially with Adult Swim, because Adult Swim started at 10, and their programming block would also start repeating at 2 a.m. So it was like if something came on between 10 and 2, it's like, oh, maybe I want to catch that episode of Family Guy, or I want to catch that episode of Cowboy Bebop. I would just watch it when it came around again. What does Jedi Disaster have to say?
For TV, it depends on the show for me. Something like Walking Dead, I have to watch week to week because I know it will get spoiled for me if I don't. Other shows that can't really get spoiled, like comedies, I'd rather watch in large chunks. I think what is wrong with cartoons today is nothing. Not that I love all of them, but I realize I'm not a kid anymore and there are a lot of cartoons that are not meant for me. I feel like people are, or were age, saying the same thing about the cartoons when we were kids. I don't think comic book fiction is losing its appeal. Maybe it's not as special as it once was, but there are some amazing comics out there right now, and now with digital comics you are getting a lot of great independent stuff.
I can get behind everything that he just said. I don't know if you have this ability with your Twitter client, Steve, but I know that Twitter has the ability to spoil stuff, because people will live tweet their reactions to certain things and like TVs and movies and stuff like that. The client that I used is great. It allows me to mute keywords, so I never have to have something spoiled for me.
I use the on my phone, I have to use the actual Twitter app because I used to use TweetDeck and it doesn't exist for the Android phone anymore. But on the PC, I use TweetDeck's actual website, which is through Twitter. But I use that and I hide stuff if I don't want to see certain things pop up.
Yeah, I Walking Dead is definitely not a train wreck show for me. That's kind of a must watch, so I will try to watch that one as soon as I possibly can, so it won't get spoiled. I know that I watched the last three episodes of Breaking Bad. Before I would regularly watch them just so stuff wouldn't be spoiled for me. I do understand not wanting to get things spoiled for you, though. And I do agree with what you said about cartoons, that they aren't meant for us. But I think that the ones that are meant for adults, you actually kind of have to, like, dig into them a little bit to uncover them. And totally agree about the comics. One comic that comes to mind whenever we talk about, like, good comics or just amazing comics that are out there, I'm reminded of a graphic novel that I read. It has nothing to do with superheroes. It has nothing to do with special powers or anything like that. It's a tale. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but it's kind of a sad tale. It's kind of based on real life. It's a book called Blankets. I can't really remember who wrote it right now, but the way it comes off the page is like you are reading a novel. And what I mean by that is the panels are just kind of fleshed out with what you would, basically the panels become your descriptive text in like a novel, and then you get your dialogue, and a lot of comics are like that way, but for some reason Blankets just really read like an adult storybook. It was pretty decent. And I am missing comments for Super Film Fan and Plato's Lament.
I don't think they had any. Oh. I left that in there. Okay. My bad. Born Standing Up says, great, my favorite podcast.
Great handle, what's by that? The way. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I left that in there. Born Standing Up says, my favorite podcast is easily WTF with Mark Maron. Seriously, some of the greatest interviews I've ever heard. I prefer to marathon my shows. I think most are better when you watch them back to back. I don't watch cartoons, so I can't help you there. I do think comic book movies are losing their luster. Wait, I just saw the Captain America 2 trailer. I retract my statement. Give me more.
Yeah, I had that same reaction to Captain America 2 as well. That's a really good trailer, but you know what else had a really good trailer? The Matrix movies. You know what else had a really good trailer? X-Men 3. So just remember.
You know what has kind of a lackluster trailer right now?
What's that?
Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not great, though.
It got me excited, but it...
I'll watch it.
Oh, of course.
Regardless, because I like what they're trying to do there, and I've read the comic.
Some of my favorite podcasts to listen to, they're all gaming-centric podcasts. I love Rebel FM with Arthur Geese from Polygon.com. I like Weekend Confirmed with Garnett Lee and Jeff Cannata. And an offbeat podcast, kind of a newer one. I think they've only been around for a year. It's called Unconfirmed Opinions with Christian Spicer. That's a really good podcast. It's about, each episode's about 30 minutes, and they just randomly pick a topic to riff on, whether they know about it or not. So, those are just a couple of the ones that I liked. Are there any, did you talk about podcasts that you liked last week?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
All right.
Yeah.
The Walking Dread says, I'm a DVR hound when it comes to TV. Skipping through commercials is my superpower. Am I the only one who likes cartoons today? I like a lot of the Cartoon Network stuff. Archer, Bob's Burgers, among many others. Some of the kids' cartoons, like TMNT, are pretty sweet, too. Archer and Bob's Burgers are two cartoons that I really do enjoy. Totally forgot to mention those ones. I find Archer to be funny and Bob's Burgers, so it's just kind of funny they both have the same voice actor. So
I myself do not like anything Cartoon Network has other than Beware the Batman at this point in time.
All right.
Freddie Savage says, I too listen to a lot of podcasts. He says, I think my favorite, depending on the day, is Nerdist. He says, man, I miss Saturday morning cartoons. It's a wasteland nowadays. I think the issue isn't the cartoons, but the networks. They would give them time to breathe or gain an audience. Right when a lot of them are getting good, they get canceled.
Regarding Saturday morning cartoons, obviously when I think about it, I think about X-Men, I think about Spider-Man, I think about stuff that I used to watch and, or used to try to watch on Saturday mornings. I have to remember that I didn't have much of a Saturday morning with cartoons. I liked Recess. I also liked Doug when it went to ABC after it was on Nickelodeon. Do you remember the... It was when they had the one Saturday morning.
I remember that. That was cool.
Well, there was that jingle, but do you remember the educational show that they had where it was like the courtroom drama? But everything was based around just being educational and teaching people about like science facts and stuff like that, solving cases that had to do with science. It was this... I
vaguely remember.
It had like that squiggly line art style, I think, to it.
I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of it.
If anybody does that listens to this, if they can remember the name. And like I said, the best way I can describe it is like a... It's an animated courtroom drama that was part of ABC's One Saturday Morning. I believe it was like the second to last show that they aired. And yeah, it was just an educational courtroom drama. If you could... maybe help us figure out what the name of that show was, that would be awesome. And then we can go ahead and wrap this up with Brad Kellogg. I no longer have cable, so I don't bother with week-to-week episodes. I'd either wait for the DVD releases or catch it on streaming. I don't think comic fiction is losing its appeal at all. I mean, the movies are making bank, and some of the comics are having better sales than ever. I mean, comic fiction is so far-reaching. It's like saying is TV or movies losing their appeal? I agree with that now. Like, if you, I mean, maybe even like pre-Iron Man, I would have to say that comics were not doing all that well. But now that comics have become a mainstream thing, and especially Marvel has made it a point to try and at least have comics that take place in and around the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Since they've done that, I think obviously that has helped out immensely with their sales and stuff like that. I'm with you, Brad. I don't have cable in the house. But like, well, I shouldn't say that. Like I said, I have a cable subscription. It is not hooked up to any of my TVs. My wife and I have lived here for 2 years. We haven't had cable TV in the house. And before that, we were in the apartment for about a year and we didn't have cable TV. It's just not... it's expensive, man. It's not even worth it. So I think, Steve, I am going to hold off on talking about Arkham Origins until next week.
Sounds good.
Just due to time. I'll have a better opinion of it. But if anybody wants to know what I think of Origins, they can check out Off the Cuff episode 34. Danner and I do talk about it extensively, and I do briefly touch on Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate on the Vita, which I played for a couple hours after we recorded the show, and I have to say I'm kind of enjoying it a little more than the Big Brother. So I will leave you guys with that little nugget. Let's see.
Do we have any questions we want to ask? Whether they be from the backlog there or new ones?
Let's go... I don't know. Well, I guess we can just go with this one. I'll just pick the who is your favorite fictional character?
Okay.
That could be fun. Yeah. Who's your favorite fictional character? Can be from a comic, a cartoon, a TV, a film. Heck, if you can explain it well enough, tell us about your imaginary friend. Speaking of imaginary friends, it's another cartoon show that I really enjoyed. Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. And anything Jendy Tartakovsky did, Samurai Jack, I believe either it was him or Greg McCracken that worked on Powerpuff Girls. I really should watch Powerpuff Girls because I didn't watch it when it was on, but I think I might enjoy it now.
Samurai Jack actually has its own comic book now.
Does it really?
Yeah, it just started this month.
Hmm. That's all on Netflix. I need to watch that. I made it like halfway through like the first season. It is a fun show. I'm lost in the script. Help me out here. Ways to contact?
Yes. There are many ways to contact us for Altered Geek or any of the Geekcast radio shows. You can call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. You can email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can visit the forums and the episode post at geekcastradio.com. You can visit the Facebook fan page and become a fan of us by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can contact us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio, #AlteredGeek. My contact on Twitter is at SCP21, and yours is?
Mine is at BoothNinja81. And real quick, before you give us our tag here, just a quick reminder to anyone that's listening to this that also listens to Off the Cuff, if you haven't yet, it is the last week to get in your nominees for the 7th Gen Console Awards. That is the Xbox 360, the PS3, and the Wii. It's the last week. We will be covering that on episode 35, the winners of the different categories. So if you care, the nominees are listed in, I think, like episodes 30 to 34 all have the nominee list in it. Just paste and copy it into a Word document. Please try and submit 3 for each category and email it to us at feedback@geekcastradio.com, care of Off the Cuff. And I will make sure to get your votes in with the rest of them. So, all right, Steve, take it away.
So, as always, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.
Bye.
Espinator, finally get on microphone. One more time, Bug, I told you to move.
All right. Don't get your knickers in a twist there, Lizard Lips.
All right, citizens, stand back. I will say, you're listening to GeekCast with pretty much everyone from the entire universe.
It's the Scott McNeil thing. We love you, bye-bye.
Or something like that?